Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the January 19th special meeting. First item is roll call.
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Vice Chair Downs.
Here.
Regent Arascotta. Regent Boylan.
Present.
Regent Brager.
Here.
Regent Brooks.
Here.
Regent Brown. Regent Cruz Crawford.
Here.
Regent Del Carlo.
Here.
Regent Goodman.
Here.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Perkins.
Here.
Regent Tarkanian. You have a quorum present.
Thank you, Carrie. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance. Regent Goodman will lead us in the pledge.
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. We'll move on to item number one, public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069 and passcode 555-5555. I will now ask for public comment from the meeting sites. Is there any public comment in GBC?
There is no public comment at GBC at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
Yes, there's public comment here.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Downs, Regents, Chancellor, Presidents. Kent Urban, ERVIN, Nevada Faculty Alliance. As we begin the new budget cycle, it's important that every budget decision follows our strategic goals and that they enhance our core missions. The mission is mainly accomplished through our faculty and staff personnel who directly serve students through the state-supported operating budgets. NFA pledges to work with you and our partners at the colleges and universities throughout the legislative process. We frequently encounter legislators who believe that NSHE has plenty of money hidden away. The only effective way to counter that is for NSHE and the institutions to become fully transparent in reporting revenues and expenditures for self-supporting budgets. As I noted at the December board meeting, there is a $375 million gap between NSHE's audited financial statements and what is reported to the regents in the various budget reports. You as regents, the legislature, and the public need to know where that money comes from and how it is spent. A good start would be to generate the new reports you are requiring in response to the legislative audit for FY 2023, the past year. Thank you again for approving COLAs for faculty. The state budget policy of only funding cost of living adjustments for the state-funded portion of NSHE budgets is unlikely to change. Therefore, NSHE needs to plan ahead for how to cover future COLAs and merit increases, paying our rank-and-file faculty and staff fairly should not be an afterthought. The 12% plus 11% COLAs this biennium only covers the drop in purchasing power of take-home pay since 2019. Inflation is still running at 3%, and employee retirement contributions will increase by 2% in 2025, so a 5% COLA in FY 2026 will be needed just to stay even. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jim New, NEW, President of the Nevada Faculty Alliance. And this morning, I'd like to express my gratitude to Chancellor Charlton for including a representative from NFA on the Ad Hoc Committee for Public Safety. As you can imagine, in the aftermath of 12-6, security has been foremost in the minds of so many faculty across the system as they return from the holiday break, as well as for those students at UNLV. We feel this is the most important priority right now. We appreciate that the committee will make recommendations for enhancing the physical safety of our campus communities, but we also recognize that implementing these improvements will be costly. The NFA fully support NSHE's efforts to secure funding from the Interim Finance Committee to offset these costs, and we will do our best to make public comments to that effect in support. Nonetheless, it is probably likely that the institutions will need to bear some of the costs. We feel campus security must be prioritized above all other proposed capital projects in the next legislative session. It doesn't make sense to add new buildings when our existing buildings remain vulnerable. We are also looking forward to the work on the Chancellor's Committee on Funding Higher Education. It probably comes as no surprise to you that we in the NFA will be advocating for a funding plan that prioritizes our core educational mission while recognizing the distinctions between our different institution types and establishes a progressive and competitive system of professional compensation. Finally, we look forward to working with NSHE in the upcoming legislative sessions. Together, we can tackle a lot of the challenges that the system encounters. Thank you.
There appears
That's all for Reno.
Okay, thank you so much. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas?
Good morning. Doug Unger, D-O-U-G-U-N-G-E-R, President, UNLV Chapter, Nevada Faculty Alliance. Thank you, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Downs, and Regents for your service. I wish to honor the memory of Regent Jason Geddes. He was an exemplary leader, cordial and accessible. And though we didn't always agree, he always listened, and he respected faculty governance. I recall sharing many moments of upbeat laughter, too. And there was laughter at these meetings because of a sense of humor that was all his. I miss him, as does everyone who knew him. Requiescat in pace. Speaking to agenda item number 4, the overview of the biennial budget, we appreciate beginning this process in a timely way. I know NSHE will face some budget challenges, including uncertainty of enrollments. Notwithstanding, I feel optimistic. If we can work together to assert the value of higher education to diversify our state's economy, as well as to provide wellsprings of opportunity for our students, we must try to avoid any zero-sum game funding issues with K through 12 by insisting on our interconnectedness, the concept of K through 20 and beyond. On behalf of the Nevada Prisons Education Project, I also ask for your support when you see a proposed expansion of prison education funding that will be requested by CSN and WNC. As well, please keep an open mind to possible supplemental requests for worthy faculty-originated proposals. One of these we hope to see will be a new Center for Diversity, Race, and Ethnic Studies at UNLV. Also, in statewide NSHE partnership, a Nevada Center for the Study of Gun Violence, both of which would be long-term responses to the December 6th mass shootings being discussed by faculty along with whatever suggestions will result from the Chancellor's Ad Hoc Committee on Safety Improvements. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cesar Lopez. Thank you, Board of Regents, for the opportunity and faculty and members of the community present. I'm here because I have an observation that I've been bringing. I brought it to the board on November 30th about undocumented students serving in schools, student government. I'm quite ignorant about the way that to go about instituting it as a policy in the state. So all the schools of higher education allow undocumented students to serve in the Senate. I believe that it's our duty and our right to participate in civic engagement, whether it be in local government or on our school boards. And I don't know how to proceed to get this ball rolling at the state level to correct this fault in the system as I see it. But I think that the number one step would be that everybody would have to agree that everybody should be allowed to participate in student senates where they attend school. So I haven't seen any conversations on this online or anywhere, and I'm ignorant on how to get the ball rolling on this conversation and this issue, because being discriminated sucks. And I don't want young students to start their college experience this way. So if the board will be kind enough to put it on the agenda or create some type of study or motion, something, I don't know. Like I said, I'm quite ignorant, but I'm here to learn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Patrick Villa, V-I-L-L-A, Faculty Senate Chairperson at CSN. Bringing up my couple old comments here. As you know, our wonderful president is retiring in 5 months and 10 days, give or take. And I'm very worried about the direction we're going on, who's going to take over after Dr. Zaragoza leaves. I don't believe we have anything going on right now. If we do a permanent search, it's a very short timeline. I really think a permanent search should have began back in, I don't know, July, August, September. We're a little late on that one. And regardless, even if we start one today and we do find somebody, I'm a person who I'd rather be ready just in case. I'd like us to, you all, to consider an acting president, somebody to name just in case a search fails, because I've seen searches fail at different times, different levels here. So I'd rather it be where we have an on-deck contingent person waiting to go, get an interim after that, but an acting president right now just ready to go on July 1. And if you end up hiring somebody who's able to start, the acting president will not be needed. It's no big deal, but just to have a name would be nice. So I'd like you all to consider that and just like to get started ASAP on our, you know, our most important position at CSN here. Thank you all.
Good morning, Dr. Bill Robinson, Chair of the UNLV Faculty Senate. I want to talk about a couple things. One is that this is the third scheduled meeting since December 6th, and one was canceled, and two had nothing about campus security, safety, any of the issues that were raised on December 6th. And I appreciate Chair Carvalho and Regent Cruz Crawford and the Chancellor reaching out and being willing to talk about that with me. I appreciate Regent Perkins reaching out. We had a whole bunch of people who were going to come and do public comment at the IDEA meeting who would inform me that they were coming, and then the meeting was canceled. It's important, really important, that the faculty know that the board is not forgetting about the issues that happen, and remember that the issues are statewide. They are not just UNLV issues. All our campuses have the same security app, and we know it hasn't yet notified some of our faculty that there's a crisis on campus. We have issues, the same issues about door locks, the same issues about how we're going to do this. If you know my building, even just 2 weeks before this happened, we had a rash of thefts in my building. Every few years, we've had significant theft problems in my building. We never catch the folks who are doing it. We ask for security upgrades every time. We don't get them. We can't let this pass. This is that point where all of us fail, our faculty and staff and students, if we let this pass. And I really, really need the board to make sure that we're there on this. And the same is true with the diversity issues that have been raised with this. Stuff is going to come out, and I think there is some evidence that this person was not just randomly shooting. But even if that person was just randomly shooting, those diversity issues need to be addressed, and we need to make sure that we're two-thirds minority students and one-third minority faculty who are supporting those students, and we need the board to be involved in that discussion as well. Thank you.
Thank you. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
Yes, Madam Chair. Caller with the last four digits of 9541, please press star six to unmute. State and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board.
Good morning. Anthony Grazza, GRACZA for the record. I sent an email to each regent on Wednesday the 17th, so I'm not going to repeat the information I've already communicated. What I want to touch on is the disrepair of the EMS program at WNC. In spring 2023, the paramedic class had to be absorbed by Truckee Meadows Community College mid-semester due to a mass exodus of staff. Why that happened, I don't know, but the board should find out why all the staff left mid-semester. WNC has top-of-the-line equipment for paramedicine training and once had a flourishing EMS program thanks to Dr. Karrison and Terry Mendez. This board needs to work with Dr. Dalby and VP Ryan to provide them with the support and resources to fix the WNC EMS program. It's no secret that the EMS and healthcare industry is facing a shortage of good people to fill jobs, and there are 20 students eager to fill these vacancies, but we have been delayed for what will end up being 3 to 4 months. Speaking for myself, I had 2 EMT jobs lined up to start in December when I should have been licensed, but had to forego those opportunities. Some of these delays are due to staffing shortages at the state EMS office, so I urge the board to work with the state to find a solution to that problem. Nevada is a rural state outside of Clark and Washoe County. Pre-hospital care is essential to our communities, and the Nevada higher education system is tasked with training and providing EMS personnel for our fellow citizens. When you're traveling from northern Nevada to Las Vegas on the 95 or the 93 and experience a medical emergency, the first to show up will most likely be an EMT, not a nurse from the nursing program, or a physician from the medical school. Chances are also high that the person will be a volunteer who, like myself, is getting into the field because they simply want to serve their community and be a light for someone on their darkest day. I met with Dr. Delpy and VP Ryan on Wednesday morning to discuss the issues facing the students from the fall 2023 semester. It's clear there was an egregious communication breakdown between the director of Allied Health in leadership. If swift action was taken in November and I brought this matter to the school's attention, we would not be in this position.
Sir,
let me reiterate.
You have exceeded your time. I appreciate the comments, but we do need to move on now. Thank you. SES, are there any other comments?
Madam Chair.
Thank
caller
you.
Caller with the phone number ending in 762, please press star 6 to unmute on your phone. State and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board. They're not unmuting. Chair, and that's the last caller.
Thank you. With that, we will move on to item number 2, consent items. Do I have any discussion or a motion for acceptance?
I would make a motion for all the minutes, October 2023 Board of Regents special meeting, Board of Regents workshop, and Board of Regents special meeting on October 20th, and November 1st for approval.
I second. Okay. This is Regent Del Carlo. I have a correction to the minutes for October 20th, or in addition. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you, Regent Del Carlo.
I need to state it. Well, no, let me just tell you what it is. It's on page 3 of the October 20th, 23 meeting. I stated that ENCHI belongs to two national organizations, and I feel that the two national organizations, I said it publicly what they were, and it wasn't included in the minutes, and it needs to be. Those two organizations were ACCT and AGB. So I have already sent Angela an email asking to have that included in the minutes, please.
Thank you.
I would add that to the approval.
Thank you. So
thank
I have
you.
A motion from Regent Brager to accept the consent agenda with the corrections from Regent Del Carlo. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Tarkanian. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number 3, Procedures and Guidelines Manual Revision for FY25 Registration Fee Distribution for the School of Dental Medicine at UNLV. And for this item, I will... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. So we will... I will ask for a motion for Section B of the consent agenda for appointments, task force on power-based violence at institutions at higher education. Is there
Madam
a motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate it. This is an appointment to task force on power-based violence at institutions of higher education. I would have appreciated it if we had some background on these two people, Jordan Fichette and Lindsay Walterbeek, that showed where they had such experience that they could be of use, and not just two people who are named to be on such a task force. We really need to do some soul searching when we're talking about violence in higher education. Why were these two people selected, and what exactly is their ability in such a task force? I'd appreciate that, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the question, Regent Boylan. I'm going to give the floor to Chancellor Charlton to answer that.
Thank you. Good morning for the record, Patty Charlton, Chancellor. Through you, Regent Carvalho, to Regent Boylan, just as a point of clarification, so this language and the appointments are specific as it relates to the legislation that was passed in the 2023 session. And so these two individuals, there is a resume or some information that has been provided. It does call out very specifically in the legislation for the types of representatives that we need to include on this task force. And so one is a student who identifies as a victim of power-based violence, and the second is a person who represents an organization that governs fraternities and sororities at an institution within our system. And so we needed to be very specific about identifying specific individuals that fulfilled those capacities. And so we have a wonderful chair of that committee who reached out across the system to identify individuals. We will be bringing back at a subsequent meeting the final appointment for shoring up the membership as prescribed in the legislation. So I hope that that answers your question, Regent Boylan, and would be happy to further discuss it with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Interim Chancellor Charlton. That still doesn't answer my question. I know it's in the NRS and all that stuff. What experience do these two people have that we can specifically say that their knowledge and abilities will help this and help ENCHI in the future? We cannot just choose people willy-nilly because we think, oh, this person should be on this committee or this task force, and they have no experience. We've seen what happened in December. We don't want a repeat of that again. We keep putting people in positions in ENCHI, I've noticed, that really don't do anything to change what we are supposed to be doing. NRS, yes, I respect it. Thank you. Yes, they should be. What experience do these two have?
Regent Boylan.
Now, just because you've been... Yes, ma'am.
I would invite you to look at the agenda item. It does have both of their CVs/resumes for our review, and I believe that the committee chairperson, along with the chancellor, did vet these potential members of this committee. So I do think that we have done our due diligence in terms of making sure that both of these potential members have the correct and appropriate experience to serve on this board, on this
Madam Chair, this
task force.
I hate to butt in, but I still don't see, and I guess I've studied what's been written about them and their resumes. I don't see any experience they have in this field. I'll keep quiet now because obviously this is the way it's going to be. It's not that we should be looking for the best people. We just put the people in there and say, now, tough luck, swallow this. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing else to say.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this agenda item? I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Motion from Vice Chair Downs and a second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please say aye. 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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Thank you. Are there any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
I forgot to unmute. Aye.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Item number 3, Procedures and Guidelines Manual Revision, FY25 Registration Fee Distribution for the School of Dental Medicine at UNLV. I will have President Whitfield introduce this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Keith Whitfield, President of UNLV, Chair, Vice Chair, Regents, and to the Chancellor, at the previous December 12th special meeting, UNLV requested approval to amend the Procedures and Guidelines Manual for the School of Dental Medicine to increase the student access funds to the minimum 15% as per Legislative Council Bureau Audit's report. This change, as requested on December 12, was to be retroactively in effect on July 1 of 2023. But at the request of the board, UNLV has reevaluated the retroactive adjustment and now requests approval to amend the Procedures and Guidelines Manual for the School of Dental Medicine to the minimum of 15% with an effective date of July 1st of 2024. Similar to the previous request, this amendment will not change the fees being charged to students, but it will increase the fee allocation to the dental school's access scholarships. With this in mind, I respectfully offer this for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Are there any questions or comments for President Whitfield regarding this item, this change to the revision of the Procedures and Guidelines Manual?
Regent McMichael, motion to approve.
Regent Perkins here, second that.
Thank you. So I have a motion from Regent McMichael and a second from Regent Perkins to approve a revision of the Procedures and Guidelines Manual concerning the distribution of the registration fee for FY25 for the UNLV School of Dental Medicine. This proposed change will also increase the student access funds to the minimum 15% as required by board policy. And I read that as per the agenda item. Any other discussion or questions regarding this? I'll call for a motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 4, 2025-27 Biennial Budget Planning Overview. This is for information only, and I'll turn it over to CFO Chris Vitone.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Carvalho, Regents. Chris Vitone, NC Chief Financial Officer. I have a presentation for you this morning just to walk through and give you kind of a high-level overview of the schedule we have for the spring and summer in preparation of the system's biennial budget request for the next legislative session. Also, let me work the clicker here. And then we'll go through, I have just a high-level overview again of the current funding formula and the drivers, walk through some of those calculations and kind of give a summary of where we ended last session and where we'll be starting the next. So first we'll talk about the schedule for this spring and summer. And as you can see, it'll be a busy year. We started with Chancellor and system admin staff visiting the campuses for their biennial budget visits, so we could hear their priorities and talk through some planning. So that was completed over the past 2 weeks. We visited with all campuses and collected that information. And I'm here this morning with this presentation. We'll follow up at your February-March quarterly meeting, where we'll have been able to bring together the information we collected from the campuses over the past couple of weeks and start to formulate what we see as proposals for system priorities, both operating and capital. Following that, we'll have an opportunity to work with the business officers and presidents over reviewing the capital priorities in particular for prioritization so that we can bring that to you with their recommended prioritization for the system. That'll happen in the April-May timeframe, depending on how the meetings are scheduled for you there. Then at the June meeting, again, we'll have an update on the operating and capital with the opportunity to finalize those priorities so that we can move forward with preparing the initial version of the biennial request. At the end of June, we'll be receiving the course taxonomy for the fiscal year 2024, which would be the count year under the current formula that would apply in the next session. We'll talk more about that in the slides ahead. In July, concurrent with all of this timing around our work, there's also the formula committee's work that's underway. Their first meeting was in November. Their second meeting is coming up February 12th. And they'll be meeting monthly through the end of July, with July being their final meeting. We'll expect some recommendations from that committee that we will anticipate having to model and be prepared with being able to present the impacts of those proposals for consideration in the system's request. And then August is the timing for your special meeting when we would bring forward the final recommendation for the system's budget for your approval for us to submit to the governor's office by their deadline of September 1st. So again, a very, very hectic, busy spring and summer ahead of us. This slide I wanted to share, these are biennial numbers. So this is fiscal year 24 and 25 appropriations. That's the middle column. So this is a two-year summary, but this is how the governor's office builds and legislature reviews the budget figures statewide. Top line here is the instructional formula budget. So that's your seven formula instructional budgets that we talk a lot about. The professional schools budgets on the next line, that's your four non-formula professional school budgets, and then desert research, and then the other non-formula appropriations. So you have 16 non-formula appropriations that include things like the intercollegiate athletics appropriations for the two universities, some statewide programs, the business center budget, system admin, SES, and a few others. The next line there, that is the, in the middle column again, that's the current biennium funding provided by the state for the cost of living salary adjustments. As you can see in the, we'll talk about the right-hand column next, but I have a comparison there for you of what that looks like fully rolled up for the new biennium. The bottom line there is the 23 sessions one-shot appropriations. Those are non-recurring appropriations, and I have a slide coming up that we can talk about the details of that. As you can see, it was significant at $83 million. What I wanted to highlight in this slide is the cost of living adjustment impact on the roll-up in the next cycle. So the far right column is simply the current FY25 approved appropriations carried forward as the starting point for the new budget cycle. So this is before inflation, maintenance, and other adjustments. The one item that I did roll up there is the cost of the cost of living adjustments, and so that $368 million is the 2-year cost of the full impact of the 12 and 11% cost of living adjustments. And so what I wanted to highlight here is that just from a starting point to cover those cost of living adjustments, the system's appropriations would need to increase by about $111 million. And that does not cover those one-shot adjustments that we'll talk about in a minute. So some risks that I've listed for you here. Okay, sorry about that. Wasn't sure if there was a question. But some risks that identified for you here for the next session. Obviously, those one-shot appropriations are important to the campuses. We heard about those as we visited the campuses, and when we go through the list, you'll see how they would be. I highlighted here for you the three most significant of the $83 million. And then obviously the other risk being the base inflation. We talked a lot as you were deliberating the COLA decisions about the potential risk that represented for the statewide budgeting process. Again, the roll-up of the base is expected to follow the traditional process, the concern being once those base budgets are determined, will the forecast revenues be sufficient to cover those rolled-up increases? Mm-hmm. And then the last line, again, timing-wise, we have parallel to this process, the formula committee's work that we know will lead to some recommendations and just being able to manage how that fits in at a very last hour process will be a challenge. And I apologize. I know the fonts, the print's kind of small on this slide, but there were quite a few one-shot appropriations. Again, I have them listed there. You can see the significance of them with enrollment recovery. Those next two lines are the staff compensation that was approved in this cycle around retention payments and continuity of service or longevity. The expansion of the nursing programs and the expansion of the UNLV School of Medicine, obviously important in there as well, as well as all the others. So I just wanted to include those here for you so you can see the impacts of those one-shot appropriations that, again, are not – those would need new action to be brought forward. This was just a reminder of the 23 approved capital priorities. Again, we met with all the campuses. All the campuses do have their priorities in mind for the 25 cycle, and we'll be meeting. We have a process that will follow, similar to your last legislative cycle, where the business officers will be meeting, and we'll take a first shot at prioritizing those capital requests. That'll then be reviewed with the presidents and then brought to you at your meeting. April or May for your approval of the.
I have no clue what he's doing.
Excuse me. It seems that there's somebody that it appears on Zoom that has their that is not muted. Please make sure you're muted. Thank you.
So I'm going to move into a little bit of a review of the funding formula and how that worked through last cycle's closing process. Again, just a reminder before we get into these next slides, this is the current formula. I'll talk a little bit in one of the slides about how the 23 legislature worked with the formula and what they didn't follow in terms of the current formula, but this is the current formula. So we have the formula committee's work going on concurrently also, and so we'll be preparing based on the historical formula. But there obviously we're expecting some recommendations that'll lead to some adjustments. So just a again, a review of the current formula and the major components. The formula distributes general fund only and only for those seven instructional budgets. The formula that's in place today was revised from the formula in place prior that was focused on enrollments. This formula is focused on completion, with the primary driver being weighted student credit hours. Weighted student credit hours are those are credit hours weighted by discipline, and for the formula purposes, only resident student credit hours are counted. So non-resident credit hours do not factor into the allocation of the campus's state appropriation. And then the bottom bullet there, the performance pool, is a carve out of that base budget. So once the bases are determined for each of the each of those instructional budgets, 20% is set aside and has to be earned back by the campuses based on performance targets that that the campuses have in place and the process. This is a process that's been followed since the 2013 legislature had first adopted the new formula. And as you may know, the performance pool is a subject of great interest in the formula committee. And so you'll see there was a lot of discussion at their first meeting on that. And a preview of the February 12th meeting, we'll have a presentation to do a little bit of a deeper dive in that component. I think I covered a lot of these points already on the last slide, but again, the weighted student credit hours being the primary driver, and those credit hours being focused on resident students rather than all students. So just... and then aside from the weighted student credit hours, there's a few institution-specific adjustments that are made in the course of the formula, those being the small institution factor to recognize the economy of scale issue with respect to the smaller institutions to support their administrative costs, research factor to provide some additional O&M support to the two research universities, recognizing the cost of non-instructional research space. And then the research impact also on the instructional side, providing an additional 10% on the weighting factor for the two research universities. Next slide is just to cover, there was a departure in the 23 session in terms of following the prior legislative direction on implementing the formula, and that departure was primarily presented as an option to help address some concerns around how the COVID cycles impacted the campus's operating budgets and how restoring those COVID impacts would flow through the formula, how things like the enrollment recovery components would potentially impact the formula. So there were a lot of concerns around how the formula under normal circumstances may be one thing, but in the COVID recovery cycles was not necessarily leading to the results that folks would have preferred. So the legislature actually set aside the weighted student credit hour redistribution component of the formula in the 23 cycle. So that there was a lot of buildup to calculate, but at the end of the day, the appropriations were allocated based on the more traditional base maintenance enhancement approach. And so coming out of that, the weighted student credit hour value that was typically calculated was not calculated because it was not used for allocation. And then also the legislature recognized that the formula committee the funds for the formula committee were being authorized and that they were expected to have recommendations coming out of that process. So in the new biennium, they are expecting that there'll be some recommendations from both the regents and the governor's office as a result of that work. One other highlight or change that was adopted in the 23 session as the legislature was closing the budgets was specific to DRI. DRI is not part of that instructional formula process, but 2013 legislature did adopt a formula for desert research specifically around their research awards. That formula proved problematic for DRI, resulting in some unintended consequences that required them to absorb some budget reductions along the way. The 2023 legislature approved recommendation from the governor's recommended budget and did not follow that formula and approved some adjustments that were calculated based on trying to reverse the impacts essentially of those negative impacts that had occurred. So they did receive, this is a two-year number, that $1.3 million, and that was it was a calculated amount based on historical review of what the outcomes would have been had a more traditional budgeting approach been followed for DRI over the course of the current formula. One more slide on the current formula process. Again, current formula. Each cycle, as the legislature closes the budget, that process would result in a calculated per credit hour value. Again, that was a derived value, so the process was actually calculate the base budget, take the weighted student credit hours that occurred in the count year, and divide into the budget to calculate the amount. It was not the other way around, so it's not the value isn't determining need. It's the derived amount based on the available budget. Again, that process was not completed in the 23 session because they did not do the allocation of the base based on the weighted student credit hour weights in the formula for 23. Next slide here is just showing the 2022 weighted student credit hours distribution, and this was an effect that did impact the base budget for the 23 session. So each session, when we have the count year is used to the new weighted student credit hours is used to calculate a maintenance adjustment for the seven budgets in total. And this was the first cycle where the weighted student credit hours on the count year actually declined. So in the prior sessions, each of these count comparisons resulted in a maintenance adjustment that increased the seven instructional budgets collectively incremental weighted student credit hours. In the 23 session process, that was a reduction, and so the campus's base budgets were reduced by $15.6 million. That column is annual, so each of the 2 years of the current biennium, there is a $15.6 million reduction in those base budgets. The far right column is the enrollment recovery funds one-shot appropriation that I mentioned earlier, and I put them side by side just so that you could see how they compare, but a highlight again. That's one year. That was one appropriation compared to a annual reduction. So the campuses weren't made whole over the biennium by those enrollment recovery funds. They received a 1 year equivalent, not quite equivalent, adjustment there. I had included in the one shot appropriations with the enrollment recoveries the Lake Tahoe adjustment. For UNR, I did not have that here because that was not related to the count year change, which does not have UNR, the Lake Tahoe campus credit hours in it. But just in case you're looking at those two numbers and notice the difference. Just wanted to cover a couple more points, highlights of the current formula, again, just for background purposes. This is a little bit of a more detail on the two formula-specific adjustments related to research and research O&M and the small institution factor. So the small institution factor, again, is to compensate for economy of scale issue around credit hours and the kind of baseline cost of campus administration. And the O&M research adjustment specifically to provide for additional O&M support for non-instructional space on the research campuses. So just a, one slide here to put the amount in context for the two campuses that do receive the small institution factor adjustment for Great Basin in the biennium that amounted to $551,000 annually in the appropriations, and for Western it's about $314,000. One note on this that did catch people's attention in the formula discussions: that $30 per credit hour in this calculation is the value that was in place in 2013. So this adjustment has not been adjusted for any inflation over the past 10 years. The research O&M is calculated differently. This is actually calculated based on each campus's actual O&M costs on a per square foot basis and then looking at their research dedicated space to calculate this adjustment. And I provided the amounts for you there so that you can see what that impact to the two universities is. Now, again, these are amounts that are carved out of the base budget, so these aren't amounts that are added to the base for the system. It's just that they, in the current formula, those amounts are pulled out before the weighted student credit hour allocation is run through the formula. These are not incremental additions to the system's base budget. It's just a carve out allocation to these purposes. This slide just kind of takes all those numbers and puts them lined out by campus for you. The far left column, this is the FY25 state appropriations, and again, that's really where the starting point for the next cycle's base budget build is going to come from. Those amounts are the totals, so the numbers in the other columns are part of column one. They are not in addition to column one, so just to highlight that for you, but you can see the amounts again for the small institution factor research. On the next three columns were just some additional approved enhancements within the base budget closing process. So these were not one-shot appropriations. These are part of the base budget closing, and those are the GA stipend and position increments for UNR and UNLV, the summer teaching addition, the counting of the summer credit hours for the teacher programs in the formula distributed by campus there, and then the grade and step salary increases that were approved specific to university police positions. That was being consistent with a similar position statewide. I do have a few slides to give a little more in-depth overview of the performance pool. Again, I mentioned this was a hot topic, and I know it's of great interest to you as well. This is just an overview of the history of how the performance pool was established and what the focus of it is. Again, the emphasis is on metrics that are aligned with state performance expectations or goals for higher education. So completion, focused on degrees awarded, certificates awarded, degree completion, and then within there some recognition of Pell eligible and minority completions as well, so the campuses can that performance is measured and counted toward the formula. The pool carve out is 20% of their base budget. So if we went back to the prior slide, that left hand column, and I have a slide that will show you the amounts by campus. That's 20% of that base that the campus then has to earn back based on achieving the targets set in the performance pool. The earn back is a ratio of the 100%. So if a campus doesn't achieve their target, it's not all or nothing. It's what percentage of their target did they achieve that determines how much of that pool they would earn. So it's a 20% carve out. 20% is at risk, but there would have to be zero performance to lose it all. So it's a proportional amount that's earned. This slide just, I think I discussed this already, the nature of the performance pool metrics. And then this slide again. These are the amounts, and I will have a highlight on here for you. In the course of the 10 years the formula has been in place, prior to FY24, there were three instances where campuses did not hit the 100% target of their target. And again, I think I jumped over this on the prior slide. The way the process works, the campuses measure that performance in 1 year. If they don't meet the performance, they have the opportunity to overperform the following year and recover those funds from the performance pool that they otherwise would not have earned. There's also a two-year gap between the performance year and the funding year, and that two-year gap is in part to allow for the data to be available to do the measurements. So FY24 completion is for FY25 funding. FY23 performance is for FY25 funding. So we just this fall of 23 received the performance data for each of the campuses. That performance data was reviewed by NCHE IR and shared with the campuses to vet. It's primarily based on IPEDS data, so it's coming from the IPEDS system and being validated back with the campuses. As you can see in this slide, for the CSN is giving us a real-time example of how the performance pool process works when the target is not met. So CSN came in just a little under 1.2%. These are rounded numbers. Their actual is a little more, 1.156 and some more decimal places. Because CSN did not hit 100% of the FY23 performance target, they have the opportunity to overperform with the FY24 target. Right now they have about $225,000 at stake that may be lost as a result of the FY23 performance. Should they overperform in 24, that funding is restored, and we're talking about fiscal year 25 funding. So we haven't started fiscal year 25 yet. So the 2 year delay between measurement year and funding year is to allow the data to be available, and also to allow the campus to be able to plan around that. So they do have about a 6 months warning that their FY25 budget may have this reduction to manage, but they also have the opportunity to start working and monitoring FY24 and trying to make sure that they have take every opportunity to hit the target for 24 and overperform and earn that back. And again, I started to mention there were three prior instances. It was all on the front end of the current formula where campuses were in similar situation. They did not fully meet the performance targets in the first year. In all three of those cases, those campuses were able to overperform in the next year and recover that performance pool funding. So to date in the current formula, no campuses have lost money in their appropriation as a result of the performance pool. Again, it's just a question that I know there's some interest in how the performance pool works and the concern that it's part of the base and not an incentive, not incremental funds available for overperformance. So saying it another way, for those campuses that are achieving over 100% of their target, they're not getting 115% of their performance pool. They're getting 100%. So that's how the current performance pool works. This is the process. Again, these are things that are in topics of discussion in the funding formula committee, and we'll expect will not be surprising if there's some recommendations coming out of that. I think we've hit my last slide, so I will stop there.
Thank you, CFO Vitone. Are there any questions or comments for the CFO? Yes, Regent Brooks.
Thank you very much. The only comment I have is thank you very much for the presentation. I know that I think we were trying to do this earlier, and it got pushed. And so I appreciate all the work and due diligence that you did to bring all the numbers to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Regent Carlo. I do have a question.
Yes, please go ahead, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you. And thank you, Chris, for your presentation. But was back on, I'm trying to find the slide it was. You said something about to cover the new, the 12% and 11% was $368 million 24-130, that from that slide. Then you said something about needing, it's going to really cost like $110 million. I was really confused with what you were saying there. I'm going to try to find that slide.
It's the fifth slide, and I don't know if I can pull it back up, but
yeah, it's the fifth slide. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it shows that initial 2025 or 2025 to 27, because of the 12% 11%, the $368 million. But then you said something about $110 million. I didn't quite understand what you were saying there.
Regent Del Carlo, Chris Fittone, Chief Financial Officer. Thanks for the question. The $368 million is the total cost over 2 years for the full COLA. So that figure is building the base with the COLA fully funded for the NGE state positions. The two columns here are comparing the current biennial actual appropriations approved by the legislature, and the right-hand column is what I've pro forma'd as the base budget with only the COLA rolling forward. So the one-shot appropriations, you see I don't have that carried forward in the new biennium because those are appropriations that were unique and would need to be reappropriated or otherwise addressed in the new session. But the right-hand column otherwise represents the system's current base budget with the COLAs fully rolled into the cost. And the difference between those two columns is the $111 million. So the $368 million is just the COLA cost, but the $111 million is the difference between the current biennial appropriation total for NGE and where we would be starting prior to any enhancements or other inflation adjustments, maintenance adjustments, and those one-shots.
Okay.
Does that
but going forward, you're going to need $368 million to fund the COLA.
The cost of the COLAs alone is $368 million. What I was trying to demonstrate in the slide is how that impacts the overall cost for the system, the system's appropriations in total, and anticipating that you'll see a similar effect on state agency budgets statewide. So this is just NGE. Statewide, we would expect a very similar circumstance to arise where their base budgets rolled forward with the 12 and 11% COLAs will also require funding above their current biennial funding levels. And so this is just why we anticipate that fully funding those COLAs going forward will be challenging for the state based on how the revenues statewide are forecast.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Regent Del Carlo. President Zaragoza.
Madam Chair, Regents, thank you for this opportunity to comment on one of the slides. I didn't want to kind of use the opportunity to kind of inform the Board of Regents of some of the challenges that many of the community colleges have with the funding formula. And I think a specific example is that 98.8% kind of metric that you saw for the College of Nevada in terms of a quote-unquote performance pool issue. It's not performance. Actually, the College of Nevada had higher success rates during that period. The issue is that the funding formula is based on absolute numbers. So when you have declining enrollment, you just have less people in the pool, and therefore the graduation rate, because the completion rate here was smaller, but the graduation rate was actually more. So our performance went up, but the formula penalizes us because of the way that the formula is established. So again, when we say it's a performance pool, it doesn't work for community colleges in times of declining enrollment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for that additional information, Presidency. Are there any other questions or comments regarding the budget? I just do have one observation that I wonder, given the timing of the
the task force that's been put together to look at our funding formula. When the work of that group comes forward, I don't know if there'll be a wholesale change in how we go forward with the budget, but I'm sure that your staff is prepared to deal with that in whatever way it works. But it does seem like there are a lot of opportunities for improvement in how we're funded going forward. And I see that Chancellor Charlton would like to maybe chime in on that.
Certainly. So thank you, Chair Carvalho. So first, we're really fortunate that this is coming back around to have an opportunity to look at the funding formula. It's been a conversation for some time with this body and certainly with all of the institutional presidents. We know that. It's been about 10 years since it was last reviewed. We are fortunate also that we have three board members that are participating in that process. Regent Brooks, Regent Del Carlo, and Regent Goodman are on that. I will say, and to the point following up that President Zaragoza mentioned, one of the most lively conversations at our first meeting on November 14th was around, quote unquote, the performance pool. And so we know that that'll continue to work forward. Typically, the way that these processes work is it's going to run in parallel. We will run our data and our components of our budget request as they are today in the past. And then what we do then is submit the report to the governor's office as well as the legislature and to you on what those recommendations might look like moving forward. So they will go in tandem, but we will have to go through that governor's finance office, the governor's recommendation, and the legislative council bureau. So if anything, it just adds another layer of additional work load for the finance team and for all of our business officers as well. So this is an important process. It's one that does not come around very often. And so we're really grateful for the participation of the board in that process. Thanks.
Thank you, Chancellor. And I would like to echo that. I think that it is a good time to be looking at that. And I do appreciate the work that the regents will add to that committee as well. Are there any other questions or comments regarding the upcoming budget process? Seeing none, thank you, CFO Vitone, for your presentation. I'll move on to item number 5, new business. Is there any new business? Yes, Regent Brager.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not certain it's new business, but I don't know where else this can go. When I read this item, and I did all last year, but I thought I'd get into my first year on this particular board, before I would ask it, items for consideration at future meetings may be suggested. How, I don't even know where to put this actually. So suggested means it might not ever come forward. And I think we need to look at that because we who put something, we think what we're asking is valuable. And so I think in the next meeting, maybe we have some understanding of how this can work in the future.
Thank you. Regent Boylan, did you have something?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Dr. Unger and Dr. Patrick, I call him, Avila, and others have sent us some very, very important and good information. And today, Dr. Robinson asked about what we are doing about safety after what happened. It's been 50 plus days. Also, and this board, I think, has not done anybody any good favors. We have not investigated or asked questions or brought to this meeting or any other meeting. And I know my suggestion is
Michael Wixon. Pardon me for interrupting. You're making substantive comments, Regent Boylan, on an item that has not been agendized. If you'd like to suggest an item for a future agenda, you surely may, but you're making substantive comments on a non-agendized item, and that would be in violation of the open meeting law.
Mr. Wixom, thank you so much for that, but I was just getting to what my request is, and I would really like to see where it says in the open meeting law that we cannot just mention things. You know, it goes back to discuss and deliberate, but that'll come another time. Madam Chair, my request is that on the next agenda or we have a special meeting, all these suggestions that were brought to us to keep everybody safe and be on that agenda item. It's something important, like Regent Brego said. So I'd like to see it on an agenda item, the next meeting or a special meeting. It's important that we discuss these things and really know what happened. Ask the difficult questions. If we just sit quiet and wait for something else to happen.
Regent Boylan, and, again, I caution you, you're in violation of the open meeting law. You're talking about substantive matters. If you'd like to suggest an item for a future agenda, you may. But you're going beyond that, and you're talking about substantive matters.
I am suggesting an item, and I'm just giving the background to it. I'm not talking about any substantive matters, whatever that means in your lexicon. But I'd like to have that on the next meeting, Chair, okay. And I'd like to have a discussion on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Regent Boylan. We have noted that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other new business?
Madam Chair. I have new business.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
I'll go to Regent Del Carlo and then to Regent Tarkanian. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I brought this up before. I would love to see it on our next agenda for our special meeting, that the board needs to take a position on question one, which will be on the ballot in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Tarkanian?
After speaking with multiple organizations and individuals and groups throughout the state, I would like to introduce as new business an item for the system staff to commence a study analyzing the existing benefits and shortcomings we provide, either through partnerships, academic subject matter, programs, or other means, to improving the lives of Native American students, faculty, and staff. Last meeting, we approved the waiver of tuition. I think we need to do more than that. And this might be a very good time to move into that area. We have...
Regent Tarkanian, if I may, pardon me for interrupting. You're entirely welcome under the open meeting law to suggest an item for the next agenda, which you have. But any substantive discussion of that issue would be in violation of the open meeting law because it has not been agendized.
So I can't say that a need exists?
You can suggest, Michael Wixon for the record, you can suggest an item for a future agenda. Beyond that, you may not have any substantive discussion of the item or it's a violation of the open meeting law.
Okay, then I would like to introduce as an item of new business an item for the system staff to commence a study analyzing the existing benefits and shortcomings we provide for our Indigenous students. Can I do that?
Yes, Regent Tarkanian, you may.
All right, then I would like to introduce that as a study that we should accomplish. By the way, the last time a study in this area was done was a decade ago, and many of the recommendations were not followed.
Thank you for that new business, Regent Tarkanian. Any further new business from Regents?
One from Rena, Regent Ariscotta.
Yes, please go ahead, Regent Ariscotta.
On a future agenda item, I'm proposing renaming the Rising Researcher Award that is currently offered through the Nevada System of Higher Education to the Jason Geddes Rising Research Award for Student Scholarship. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Ariscotta. Anything else?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm suggesting for the next meeting that our requesting, actually, that we have a thorough discussion with Council Wixom about what can and cannot be said. No one was discussing anything, neither Regent Tarkanian nor myself. We were just stating. So I'd really like to get an explanation from him at the next meeting as to exactly what he thinks a discussion is and what is just statements made. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Yes, please, Regent Goodman.
I'd like to recommend a new item. I'd like for us to investigate policy where individuals must receive approval from the board chair to attend the meeting remotely, whether that approval is due to health concerns or whatnot, but they should have to receive approval from the chair to attend the meetings remotely. Otherwise, they would have to attend in the system offices.
Thank you, Regent Goodman. I will ask one last time if there's any other new business. Hearing none, I'll move to public comment. I'll first ask for public comment from the meeting sites. Is there any public comment in GBC? Hearing none, I'll move to any public comment in the system office in Reno.
There appears to be no public comment here.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? Seeing none, is there any public comment on the phone, SES?
I have one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Caller with the phone number ending in 9541. Please press star 6 to unmute. State and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board.
Good morning. Anthony Grappa, GRA, PVA for the record. I'll continue where I left off. If swift action was taken in November when I brought the issue of the EMT class to the school's attention, we would not be in this position. At around 6:30 on Wednesday, VP Ryan did contact myself and the other students to advise of their solution to remedy the problem. And I do thank Dr. Dalby and VP Ryan for working swiftly to provide the only available solution. I would also like to commend Natasha Anderson of WNC, who throughout this process has been instrumental to assisting the students. I want to be crystal clear, the EMS instructors and staff are not the problem. The EMS staff is passionate and experienced, and I commend them. I urge the board to reach out to Dr. Dale Carrison, who is the chair of the EMS State Office Committee, as he has a lot of the answers you are looking for, as he was the prior medical director at WNC. Thank you for your time and your service to the great state of Nevada.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on the phone?
That is all for now.
Thank you. Now we will end the meeting at 10:17. Thank you.